Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the highly praised The Last Chapter from Eleanor Collins, the century-old mystery in the disappearance of Thomas Stanwell begins to unfold when a World War I mass grave is found at Fromelles. Thomas's great-grandson is determined to find out what happened and travels from Australia to Europe in the quest to find answers. The rich tapestry of this family saga is woven with descendants from Australia, England, Scotland, and Germany, and covers the entire 20th century. The mystery begins to unravel with an unexpected meeting in Glasgow. Eleanor Collins is a retired schoolteacher, a passion for history. Throughout history, the narratives of battles have usually been written from the perspective of the victors. In the last chapter, Eleanor has developed her knowledge and understanding of 20th century history to include insights from the perspectives of the vanquished. Eleanor Collins' The Last Chapter shows European conflict's multi-generational legacy, and by Skype from Brisbane, Australia, Eleanor joins us on This Week in America. Eleanor, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Rick.
This is such a fascinating book that you've written, receiving excellent reviews. Really looking forward to talking about this. Before we get into the book, tell me a little bit about yourself. I touched on your background. Where did this passion for history begin and this ability of you to be a storyteller? Give us a little bit of background about yourself.
I actually started thinking about history when I was about 15 or 16. I had a history teacher I loved, and that developed a history love for me. And in my years, I have been traveling the world. I think I've done just about every war grave in France. I'm just fascinated with history and people that lived. I have a very clear picture of what World War I was like. And I'm just fascinated with it.
Well, you've captured that in your book, The Last Chapter. It's a fascinating read, and we'll talk about developing the story. But where did this particular inspiration come from, the inspiration for The Last Chapter? Where did this idea come from? Obviously, it's something that you wanted to pursue, and then we'll talk about how you went about pursuing it. What was the inspiration for writing The Last Chapter?
In about the year 2005, we were over in France at a little place called Sedan that also had a battle, and there was a battlefield further away, and we went and had a look at that. I couldn't get a picture of how things would be, but we decided Fromelles had just been discovered by a very clever man called Lambus and Glazus, who went through the Battle of Fromelles and discovered there were 161 soldiers missing, and they had no idea where they were. And he got word that there was a war grave that had been undisturbed since World War I, and he discovered this grave. And the news had just come through a couple of days before, and we decided we'd stop off at Fromelles. And we couldn't find the place. It was quite hidden. But when we got there, we looked at the battlefield, and my mouth was just open, and I just sat on the battlefield and cried, because the battlefield was probably 2 football pitches long.
Wow.
And we lost 5,000 men. And I just couldn't believe it. And I think the story was already formed by the time we got to Calais to catch the ferry back to UK, where we were living at the time. And it just grew, and I just couldn't put it out of my mind. So I sat down and wrote about it. And it just sort of formed. It was just amazing.
You do such an excellent job. And the book is The Last Chapter by Eleanor Collins, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. And you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, of capturing that dread that families went through. having lost their loved ones, literally lost them, had no idea what happened. And you mentioned that you, when you read about it, when you talk about it, one of the many tragedies of war, in particular World War One, wasn't it? The fact that the people would just disappear and family members really didn't know how to respond to that.
That's right. And Australia is so far away from Europe, we didn't know what was happening. And all these families at home are waiting for their word or their husbands to appear, and they never did. So they went through their life dying in the 50s and 60s without knowing what happened to them.
The book, The Last Chapter, Eleanor Collins, coming to us from Brisbane, Australia, via Skype on This Week in America. When you set out to do this story, this, as I mentioned, multi-generational, you've got a number of characters. You've got a transitional period that they were living through. How did you develop and organize your characters in the book?
I have a grandfather who was born in Boston, in Lincolnshire, in Europe. And I based my story on his family and used all of my mother's brothers and sisters as the family. And went over to have a look at Boston, and I saw where my grandfather lived. And it just sort of all mixed in well. But the wonderful thing was my hairdresser in Canterbury, where we were living, was German. And she came from a place in Germany, so I used that name. And it just fitted. I researched it and found everything. She told me about her grandfather, who after World War One, had to travel around the countryside in a carriage, a dray, I suppose you'd call it, trying to sell material and then asking people if they wanted it made into clothes. And he'd take it back to the shop where they had all the material, and he would then take the clothes back. But on his route, he always carried a rifle, just in case, and he discovered that families were living in absolute poverty. And it just all fitted in to the exact location that I wanted. So I used that. I went back and had another haircut, used some more information from her, and it just all fitted perfectly.
You really did impeccable research for this, and in all the reviews talking about how careful you were with history in developing the story. Talk about the credibility of the book. How did you go about validating the credibility, establishing the fact that this book was going to be as accurate as was possible in writing it?
I would probably write for about an hour, and then I'd research for maybe 15 hours. I had somebody come up to me one day and said, "I didn't know Hitler fought in World War One." And I thought, my goodness, I knew that when I was 17. But people don't know. And it was just such a fascinating journey. So in the 15 hours, I learned more than I could have done going into books, because I did it all online.
Yes.
But I wanted a Christmas in, not Glasgow, in Edinburgh, that had the New Year celebrations cancelled. And I found it, and it just fitted in with the date that I wanted. But it took me about 15 hours to find it. And I was just fascinated. The whole story just fell into place.
It's just amazing the research that goes into to writing a book like this, so the book is accurate, and then developing the characters as you have. Eleanor Collins is the author of the book, The Last Chapter. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on to get all of the information on the book. How would you categorize your book? Fact, fiction, drama, romance? I mean, it covers so many different characters. It's really difficult to say this book fits in this particular genre. How would you categorize it?
I have trouble categorizing it, Rick, because it's a war story, it's a drama, it's a novel, it's a romance, it's history. And most people, when they get the book, think, oh, this is just history, and they're not interested. But it's a little bit more than that. It's a combination of everything. So I can't say it's a love story. I can't say it's a history story. I can't say which category I would put it in. There's no area in the libraries where you can put a book that fits everything.
And you've done such an excellent job in bringing history alive. That's one thing that I recall, in school learning history, it can get, I don't want to say necessarily boring, but it can get a little tedious when you're just reading basic facts on a page. You take those facts, make them come alive. You put people with those facts, and suddenly the story fits into place so well. The Great War, everybody thought this would be the final war. Obviously, another one came after that. And you, the human suffering, you do such an excellent job in portraying. What impact would you like your book, The Last Chapter, to have on people, to have on the reader?
I think I would like to have people realize that it wasn't just the winners of the battles and the wars that the impact hit. It was the losers. And the losers in the war are sometimes forgotten. And I'd just like people to think of both sides. We just get the one side because we were the winners. But what happened to all those people and the countries that lost wars? It's never sort of been discussed.
Well, it is now, as we're reading your book, The Last Chapter, and it's interesting. A war ends, and when you read about it in history, the war ends. It's not that simple, is it? Those scars remain forever. People trying to find closure, reconciliation, they may never be able to find that in their lifetimes.
No. And even with the winners, like the characters in the book, there's 161 of them whose families were destroyed. So the winners had lives destroyed as well as the losers.
The book is The Last Chapter. Eleanor Collins is the author and our guest, coming to us via Skype from Brisbane, Australia. What did this do for you? What was this process like for you in writing this book, when in developing characters, in studying these people? I'd almost think they're like family members after a while, the way you brought these people to life.
Yes, it's. I was very proud of the book. I would sometimes. I have no idea where some of the scenes came from, but I would sit and close my eyes and type, and then I'd open my eyes and I'd written two pages, without a mistake in it, and it fitted perfectly into the book, and I don't know whether there was people reaching out to me. I don't know what it was, but it was just fascinating to write.
You obviously felt a connection to the people, to the locations that you're talking about. You mentioned visiting those and getting inspiration there. As you look at what happened during this period of the last chapter, any parallels, any context you can see and put it in today's world?
In today's world, the young people have never fought in a war. In 1915-16, the First World War, all the young fellas from Australia decided to have a free holiday in Europe. And they joined, thinking it would be a great adventure, but it wasn't. And those soldiers came home having been ordered not to discuss the war with anyone, what they went through. They were discussed, the war had finished, and they were to put it to the back of their minds. I have no idea how those soldiers managed that. World War II, the children of World War I went to fight. The ex-soldiers were terrified for their sons, and the soldiers of World War II were told to forget it. It's happened, it's finished, we won. And those soldiers had to do that as well. And now we discover what PTSD does to people.
Yes.
So all these soldiers fighting around the world in Afghanistan, the post-traumatic symptoms that they go through and suffer are horrific. And we realise that the soldiers of World War I and World War II and the Korean War as well and the Vietnam War all have the sadness and the shattered lives that they had when they were fighting. And to be told you do not say anything about the war would have been horrific.
Yeah, it's one thing to say forget it. If it was just that simple, everybody could turn it off and get on with their lives, and that's not the case. And in World War I, World War II, we didn't have names for it, really, did we? We didn't have the study of the impact it had on men, women, children, family members. The book is so well done. The last chapter by Eleanor Collins, and I'm reading reviews, and people are saying, I can't wait. This is beautifully written, well-developed, well-researched. I can't wait for her next book. What are you working on now?
I'm working on a very similar sort of book. I've already written one, but I didn't think that was good enough. It just wasn't as powerful to me as the first book. As the book I've just written, the last chapter, I've already started another book. It's very similar along the veins of covering humour, love, war, drama, happiness, and it's the same sort of book.
Where did this ability to tell a story come from? I mentioned that in the beginning, this passion for history. And to take that and convert it into storytelling, it's one thing to have a passion for history and you didn't write in this date in 1927 this happened and go through chronologically like that. You actually make the history come alive. Where did you find this ability? When did you discover this ability that you have, this talent to tell a story, to take what you see as the story, establish as the story, and then tell it through the characters? Where does that come from?
I don't really know, Rick. It's just I love history. I love the hours and hours I spent researching for the book. I loved it. I learned so much. And if you like the idea of being in a different time, like in the 1800s or the early 1900s, which particularly fascinates me, I've just always loved history. I love reading history books. I love finding out facts about history. And I think I have one of those brains where it's like a tray with just all crammed with books and things, or history facts, I should say.
Yes.
And it's got labels, 1927 or 1855. And I can just flick whatever it is up and remember the dates. And I don't know what it is, that's just me. But I can put history into dates and it's It's fascinating.
And then you take those dates and you make that time period come alive and the people come alive in this multi-generational legacy that that Eleanor has created and written about so vividly in her book, The Last Chapter. Eleanor Collins, that's C-O-L-L-I-N-S, The Last Chapter is the name of the book. The book available all the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on, get information and order the book there as well. Eleanor lives in Brisbane, Australia, where she's coming to us on the program today via Skype. Eleanor, the time went by way too quickly. Just congratulations on a story well told. So successful with this, and we're looking forward to more from you. Thank you for getting up really early in the morning over there so we could do this with the time difference and doing this. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for joining us. And when I say enjoy the rest of the day, I mean the rest of the day. You've got, I'm not sure, sun is up even. Sun hasn't even risen in Australia yet, has it?
Pardon?
Yeah, is the sun up over there as well yet?
No, it's just dawn.
Okay. You got the full day. So take a nap. I really appreciate you doing this for us to come on the program to talk about The Last Chapter. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much, Rick.
You're welcome. Eleanor Collins, the book is The Last Chapter. You'll find it wherever books are sold. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.